Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley today each weekday at noon on the River 95.3, I also produce podcasts, and I'm excited to kick off season two of our podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every month, we'll release a new episode talking to different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode on our website at theriver953.com under the podcast tab, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, just search for We Are REC. We are chatting with Cindy Music. She is the Director of Vegetation Management for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. And Cindy, you and I have had several conversations in the past for the We Are REC podcast series. So I have a basic idea of what it is you do, but Director of Vegetation Management is more than just keeping the weeds away from the power lines, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting title. And I at cocktail parties, you always have to explain that, because especially in these days, it could be a whole plethora of things. So I have a team of 9 foresters in-house and 3 contractors that our sole mission in life is to keep trees from growing, blowing, or falling onto power lines. Trees are probably 2/3 of our outages system-wide, and that's a national statistic as well. So we keep pretty busy, but we also have our unsung heroes that are 100 guys that are trimming trees around power lines on any given day. That peaks in the summertime when we bring in some more folks to do integrated vegetation management, or IVM. But on any given day, all around our 7,500 miles of distribution line, there are people trimming trees. We do that on a 5-year cycle, and all of it's inspected for quality and adherence to our contract guidelines, and to just make sure that it's going to hold for the next 5 years so that we don't have interruptions due to trees.
Now, were you one of those kids that was always planting things and walking around the backyard saying, oh, well, this tree is blah, 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 blah? Have you always kind of been into outdoor growing stuff?
I grew up in Florida, and we didn't do a whole lot of growing things, but I did a lot of catching things, so a lot of catching fish in the backyard. I had a snail collection in a 20-gallon bucket for maybe 2 or 3 years. We had iguanas that were 3 feet long that lived in the neighborhood. My grandfather lived with us, and he always had a garden, and my parents did landscaping. And now my kids have gotten to plant trees numerous times. We plant trees every time a baby is born, every time someone passes away, every time a dog passes away. That's how we commemorate things. And happily, when we moved into our house almost 20 years ago, there's no trees on the lot, hardly at all. So now you would never know. It looks like an urban forest canopy, and there's not a whole lot of places left to plant.
How did you end up in this position then at Rappahannock Electric?
I went into utility forestry right out of undergrad, and I was living out in Montana and was flown in for an interview in Washington, D.C., and I worked for Pepco, Potomac Electric Power Company, for 12 years, and then I took 10 years off, to be home with the boys, and during that time, I started a PhD in forestry, and then I was fortunate to be hired as a kind of a boots on the ground forester about 9 years ago. It'll be 9 years this year. And then my former boss's boss retired, and I interviewed for the job, and here we are.
So you mentioned forester a couple of times from the perspective of you have staff that are foresters. You are a forester. What does that mean?
Forestry is a 4-year college degree. There's also 2-year programs, and then there's some technician certificates. And forestry is kind of a multidisciplinary science approach to managing trees. So you manage trees in some cases for wood and timber, In some cases, you're managing for water or air quality or wildlife or recreation. And in our case, managing trees so that, number one, we have quality habitat under our distribution and transmission lines. And number two, those trees don't ever interact and cause outages with our facilities. So it's a science as well as an art. And there's a lot of variability in the science. But I guess at the end of the day, what you need to know is that our foresters / arborists are tree experts. They know their stuff. They have the foundation of a bachelor of science degree in some kind of natural resources discipline. And then they have usually an International Society of Arboriculture certification, which is a kind of training and then a test associated with it, an experience level that shows that they know trees. They know tree biology, they know tree growth and tree species and tree health and all these different facets of knowing about trees. And that falls under the broad umbrella of forestry.
And it makes sense because one of the top priorities for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative, aside from safety, is reliability. And reliability means keeping the lights on, keeping the power flowing. And if trees are one of the biggest causes of power outages, you guys are kind of like frontline workers to make sure that if you can prevent a tree from falling by clearing it away from a power line or making sure that homeowners know what not to plant near a power line. Those are key things that you work with a lot of the member owners.
You just said it beautifully, which is why you do what you do. But you're exactly right. There's a lot to it. And we try to trim about 1,500 miles a year or 1/5 of our system. And that's kind of the meat and potatoes of what this group of folks does. But they also do things. 5 years is a long time to not put eyes on trees, particular set of lines. So we also have a team of foresters that are out looking kind of mid-cycle, like right at that 2.5-3 year point, because trees die. We want to make sure that we find them where they fall. And so they walk up in the woods in some cases, 20 feet outside the right-of-ways to find trees that could potentially fail. They talk to landowners and coordinate getting those either on the ground or, as we talked about during our last podcast, turned into wildlife trees. So den trees, they just take out the top. So if it were to fall, it's going to miss the outside phase. And so there's a lot to it.
Treeline USA. I know we talked about that in one of our podcast episodes. You guys have earned that recognition like for 19 years in a row. So you're doing something right because that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Treeline USA is a national Arbor Day Foundation program. My predecessor actually made sure that we were the first utility in Virginia to achieve that recognition. And he kept that going, kind of passed the baton to me. And yeah, we're really proud of that. So it has kind of three aspects. One is every year we have to recognize Arbor Day and do a tree planting. And so 2019, we were able to do three of them. Two of them are elementary schools. It's great to work with fourth graders because they have that unit about trees. And last year, we kind of like, okay, what are we supposed to do here? We have this national pandemic, but we still wanted to do something. So we worked and did one virtually with masks and 6 feet apart down in Madison County with a state forester down there. And it came out great. They live streamed it on Facebook. So that was part of the Treeline USA designation. And then it also says that we do training of our workers every year. And we do education for our members about tree planting, the right tree in the right place, and also planting for energy savings. So there's bill inserts that go out to our members. There's things on our website. Our PR department does a great job with things like Instagram and Facebook and putting all kinds of information out there almost nonstop about trees and tree planting and sustainability and so forth. And then it also talks about adhering to proper tree pruning guidelines. which we try to do as much as we possibly can. Pruning to the right cut, right lateral branch, pruning for the tree's health versus just kind of cutting it in half or topping it, which we would never do. So yes, we're really proud of that.
I remember pre-pandemic, I think it may have even been the last Get Connected event that you guys did in person at the Frederick County Fairgrounds. You were giving away trees. And I just want you to know personally that the tree that I got is still alive. It is doing well due to nothing on my part. Totally my husband is keeping that thing alive. But I love that you guys were even giving away trees at that event that weren't going to be trees that would ultimately be a problem for you.
So we've given away trees for a number of years. And initially we were giving away about 150 and they were trees that grew pretty big. And you had to go into this computer program and pick where you were going to plant them. And then it was only when you planted them farther away from the power lines so they would never interfere that you got the green light and then you could register for your tree. And it was a neat program, but kind of cumbersome. And some people got halfway through it and went, this is too much. So we thought, well, why don't we just plant something that A is going to provide those shading energy benefits, B is going to help provide oxygen, C is all the other benefits that trees give us, the water quality and wildlife advancement and all those things, but it's never going to get tall enough to get into the power lines. And so that's what we did. And we ended up giving away 500 of them. And that was in one afternoon and at the Get Connected event. It was fantastic. It was so nice to see. Sometimes it was little kids kind of tripping and stumbling away with one. And sometimes it was older folks and families that were going to commemorate some kind of event. And it's one of the best days of the entire year when you can give away 500 trees.
I'm looking forward to 2021 when hopefully we can do one of those live again, because I think I want to have a forest in my backyard only because my power lines are in the front yard. So I'm perfectly good putting things in the backyard.
Right. And trees give us so many benefits that we don't even think about. It'd be up to 15% of the value of your home. If you have a semi-forested or even heavily landscaped lot, neighborhoods where there's trees that have commerce, people tend to spend more money. Neighborhoods that have trees tend to be more expensive in terms of real estate value. Children that see trees out their window tend to have lower incidences of ADD and, believe it or not, asthma. So there's all kinds of health benefits, and they're kind of still doing, you know, the research on that. But University of Illinois Champlain has a research group that's all they do is talk, is learn about all these intrinsic benefits of trees. And it's pretty cool.
Can we talk about finding a balance between wanting people to have all of those great things that involve trees in and around their houses versus making sure that it's not going to impede on their ability to turn on the lights, because they do fall on power lines. We have ice storms that cause branches to come down. And I frequently see the tree trimming crews that are out making their way down Reliance Road here in my area, for example. You guys really do walk a fine line between wanting to keep the status quo and save as many trees as possible, but having to ensure that the lights are going to stay on in a storm or anything else. How in the world do you do that on a day-to-day basis?
Great question, Janet. And it is a fine line, because trees do provide a wealth of benefits, but they're also 2/3 of our power outages. So like I was describing a little earlier, we do trim and clear the lines every 5 years. So if you've moved here from kind of maybe somewhere a little more suburban or a little more urban even out to this area recently, it might be a little bit of a shock, because over 5 years, the trees and brush grows pretty big. And we need to have access to those lines, like you said, during ice storms, during any kind of restoration event. The linemen have to be able to safely get to the poles and wires to repair them. So it's not just that we want to keep that growth from coming in from the sides or hazardous trees from failing. It's also that we want to keep that access down the power lines. So yes, we maintain them on a 5-year cycle. And then as a complement to that, we also implemented in 2020 a full inspection of all of our circuits that we trimmed 2.5-3 years ago. So we have foresters out there that are walking 20 feet up in the woods. They're walking around the base of every single tree. They're looking up. They're trying to determine what that tree's health is and if it has the potential, number one, to fail within the next 2.5 years until we're back trimming and clearing again. And number two, if it were to fail, where's it going to go? Is it going to go towards the lines? Is it going to go uphill? What does the root system look like? What does the amount of canopy, is the weight on the side going towards the power lines? So they're using a lot of tree identification skills, hazard tree identification skills, and then just a little bit of common sense. Where does the slope go? What kind of drainage is there? And what's impacting this tree that could cause it to fail? Because a lot of our outages are not caused by trees growing or blowing into the lines or growing up into them, because we do a pretty good job of keeping those lines clear every 5 years. It's trees from outside the right of way. They're on private property. And so we have to work with those landowners to get those trees either on the ground, or in some cases we leave them, if they're dead, we can just get the top out of it. So if it were to fall, it's going to miss that line. And it becomes great wildlife habitat. Any kind of nesting birds, woodpeckers, owls, any kind of nesting mammals like raccoons or
squirrels,
or you name it, can utilize those trees. It's kind of neat when you go back after you've done a bunch of those. Say it was an area where there was a beaver dam, and so all those trees' roots were underwater and they were going to die. And so we go in and we top them, and you come back 3-4 years later, and they are used as perches for hawks and eagles, and that's where they hunt from. So that's kind of neat to see. And it's neat that we can incorporate that as, number one, our job is to keep the lights on, right? But number two, if we can do it in a sustainable manner that benefits wildlife, we're all scientists and we're all foresters and arborists, and we're all pretty much into wildlife. So that's a big bonus, and it's a great source of job satisfaction, and it's something we can do for our members and for the ecology at large.
You mentioned in the first segment about not topping the trees, and I've had the tree stewards on the show several times, so I know how bad that is, but I also know that a lot of people don't even understand what that means. So they may drive down a road and see where a tree has been trimmed back from the power lines and think that it has been topped, but that's not really the process that you guys right. have used to clear that pathway for that line. What's the difference? Can you explain what tree topping is versus what you guys actually do?
So topping a tree is sometimes what you see is the tree is completely rounded over. So they've taken off all the lateral branches and they basically reduce the size of it so that it's going to be very small. So whatever comes out of where all those overhead branches were taken off, we call those suckers. They are fragile and tend to break easily during an ice storm. And it's not a practice that is condoned by any of the scientific community, any of the arborists that are worth their salt. They know their business and they know the science behind how to trim a tree properly. You still see it occasionally rounding over a tree, but it's not a practice that REC will do because it basically is writing a death sentence for the tree. In contrast, what REC does is called directional pruning. So it is the American National Standards Institute, ANSI, and OSHA. It is also the International Society of Arboriculture. It's the way to prune a tree properly. So you're pruning to a lateral branch generally that's 1/3 of the size of the branch that you're pruning from. And the tree stewards will tell you also that this is the best way to prune a tree. And you can train the tree over time to grow away from the lines. And so that's our primary goal, is to ensure tree health, because otherwise we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. If we're topping trees next to our lines, not only are we creating very hazardous branches that are going to sprout from all those cuts that are kind of in the middle of the limb, but those cuts over time become vectors for disease and decay. So you're creating hazard trees next to the line, which is counterproductive. It's not what we want. So it's in our best interest to do things properly, in addition to being the right thing to do.
So you've got this team that's going out midway through your 5-year cycle of making sure everything is clear. But let's say this past winter, there was an ice storm. And I have a tree that I just happened to notice looked like it had branches that, when it had ice on it, was very close to a power line or maybe hanging over, that maybe wouldn't look like it in the spring when ice wasn't on it. Should I call you? Should I be reaching out to you and saying, hey, I'm curious about whether or not this could be a problem. What should I do as a member owner if I think that I may have a tree that could cause a problem down the road?
Yeah, you should reach out to us. Just take the question out of it. There's three ways you can get in touch with REC. One is to call in. That's usually most people's preferred method. And you'll get one of the great folks on the other end of the line that they're working out of Fredericksburg. Great team of folks that accepts all those calls. And you can just tell them. And what we'll do is send a forester out to take a look. And we do that eyes on trees. So if there's a way you can market the tree that you're worried about, because most people don't have one tree on their property, they have a lot of trees on their property. So sometimes what you're seeing and what we're seeing is two different things, but we'll make sure it's a power line. We'll make sure it's something that REC should be responsible for doing, and we will let you know. So we'll either leave a door hanger or we'll call you from your driveway so that we're socially distanced and you don't have to meet with us on site, but we'll communicate what we're going to do. The second way you can get in touch with us is through Smart Hub. So if you have Smart Hub, and that's the way you pay your bill and you interact with REC, it's an app on your phone, or it's something you log into through the computer, you can submit a request for tree work through that. So that's two ways. The third way is if you go onto our website and go into the vegetation management section of our website, there's something that says, it's either ask a forester or ask a question for vegetation management. That goes right to me. And I take that and I either create a filled order or I just forward it to the appropriate forester. But regardless, it'll be in somebody's hands usually within a day or two. And our goal is to respond to all of these requests. And we get several thousand a year. And it peaks right around March, April, you know, when folks start going back outside and it's warm and they look up and, you know, things change over the winter, right? So we try to get to all of those to at least look at them within 10 days. And then they're scheduled, of course, in groups. We don't have a crew kind of going all over the place willy-nilly every day. And sometimes they do 4 or 5, up to 7, 8 of those a day. But we do group them geographic, so they're done in the most efficient manner.
We've got to wrap up. Can you tell me one more time before we do, what is the website? You mentioned Smart Hub and the website. Where can people find your information?
It's myrec.coop. And under reliability, there's a vegetation management heading, and you can find more information than you ever wanted to know about trees and power lines and pollinator habitat and everything else you can think of.
All sorts of good stuff.
Awesome stuff.
Cindy, thank you, as always, for hanging out with me a little bit on the Zoom screen. It's always a fun conversation when we get to talk.
You're so fun to hang out with, Janet.